This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
NFL fans, are you hungry for a big win this weekend? DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, has you covered. New customers can bet just $5 on any NFL team to win their game, and if they do, you can win $200 in free bets. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps. Bet just $5 on any NFL team to win their game and win $200 in free bets. If they win, you win with promo code FANRUN in all caps this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older in Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.
Hour two of the Blitz starting right now here on Fan Run Radio, 105.7 FM, 1340 AM. Hey, we'd love to hear from you guys, too. I know we've spent a lot of time talking about this game. There's a lot to talk about, but I'm sure everyone has some thoughts out there. So if you want to let those thoughts be heard, feel free to call us on the G3 Help Me Hotlines. Got it right there. I don't know how Chance hasn't ever once called the GP3 Help Me Hotlines.
We've joked about it during the breaks.
Because I look over at you when I say it, too, because like I'm looking at the phone lines and it just mixes in my head. But anyway, number to get on with us, 865-546-8200. That's 865-546-8200. We're live right here in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Needed a lot of White Claws to get over that Tennessee loss. But, of course, always drinking them responsibly. 16 delicious flavors, low calories. They're everything you can want, and then some. Guess we will we'll continue to talk about this game for now. I know that there are
still a lot to unpack.
There's so much to unpack in this game, but then there's just so much that went on this weekend between the playoffs, your Braves, between
LSU
upsets.
Between Coach O getting the boot and the weirdness with that story, hitting on pregnant women, taking people to practice, and their kids going through all kinds of weird stuff.
Yeah, there's a lot coming out there.
Lots of weird stuff.
Iowa losing to Purdue, number two team
getting
in the country.
Smacked around by Purdue. You have minor leaguers that are finally going to get their housing paid, which is a huge story.
Finally.
Thank God.
Texas blew another double-digit lead this week.
An entire NFL weekend, Monday Night Football tonight. I mean, where's all this when it's mid-July and we have nothing to say?
Yeah, right.
But we talked about it right before the hour ended. Joe Milton, what are you doing? What are you doing? You got – so after all the mess, after the big delay, we still had three timeouts. Yeah. And Matt Corral was a little bit banged up. And, you know, my mom was upset. You know, my dad was upset. People were leaving, which if you left, you're a coward. If you left and you weren't thrown out, you are a coward. I'm talking to you. Yes, you know who you are. You might be listening. You might not be. But if you left that game before it ended with no real reason besides just thinking, hey, this one's over, come on, man. Come on, woman. Be better. Be better. Whoever you are, just be better, because Tennessee still had a chance to win that game. I was fired up. I was still jumping up and down. I was yelling at the people around me. You just got to believe. We're still going to win this game. Three timeouts. We're getting the ball back. We're going to score. We're going to win.
If Hooker doesn't go down, man, we might. We might have. And that's another thing, too. I guess I didn't understand this, but at the college level, if you pick up a first down and then somebody gets hurt, there's not a runoff. Because I guess the clock does technically stop for a first down. I was confused by that. Because in the stadium, there was 19 seconds left when Hooker went down with injury. I thought there was going to be a 10-second runoff.
I thought there was, too.
I guess that's only an NFL rule. Well, I mean, in the college, like, if we didn't pick up the first down and then he got hurt, then there would have been the runoff.
Right.
But I guess because he picked up the first down, there wasn't one.
Because the clock is technically stopped.
Yeah.
But... yeah, I didn't realize that. I thought that even though the clock was technically stopped, because the clock would roll at the snap of the ball, that you would get the 10-second runoff or at the spot. But glad we didn't. But Milton comes in. First play. Not a bad play.
No.
Moves around in the pocket a little bit, and he tries to throw it to Cedric Tillman in the back of the end zone.
Well, he had to pick up. He picked up about 15 yards before that on a first down throw.
Oh, right.
To,
not bad.
I think it was to Tillman at the same time who picked up the first down. And then
you get the throw to the back of the end zone.
Which I thought was a really good throw.
I did too.
It was
and
placed all the spot
like,
he could.
It looked like Tillman kind of jumped a little too early.
Yeah.
And it also looked like he must have been gassed because his vertical was my vertical.
Yeah,
his vertical was like four credit cards stacked on top of each other.
I don't blame
him. Trying to get up for that football. I don't blame him either.
I don't blame him for it. It's a tough play either way. What I wish we would have done is tried to pick up some more yards, go underneath, get another first down, go up, clock it. Then you got one, maybe two shots at the end zone from 10 yards out rather than trying to score from 20 yards out.
The last play of the game. Joe Milton.
They're only rushing two people at this point. Ole Miss.
Yeah. Somehow he scrambles into the two people. That's how great that's how good his pocket awareness is. He drops back. There are literally just two people, two on five, coming after him. And he somehow initially runs into those two people that are engaged with offensive linemen, but he bounces off. You know, he retreats. All right, we're good again. We're good. He's rolling to the left. And then you could just see it. When he starts rolling to the left.
From where, where I was sitting in the north end zone, I saw it clear as day. I saw
me as well.
I saw him bounce off, start rolling to the left. I'm basically right behind him from where I'm sitting.
And you look in front of him.
Open grass.
And from the line of scrimmage to the end zone, it's open.
It's clear. There's nobody there.
And I thought to myself in that moment, I was like, this idiot's going to try to run the ball.
I did too. I said
this
the same
idiot's going to try to run the ball. He doesn't even realize that all those – the other – nine defenders are in the end zone, and they can all close down. They don't have to stay in there, Joe. You know, they can come get you. So, of course, he takes off, and he runs. I guess with that much room and with how hard of a guy he can be to bring down with his size, you know what, maybe him taking off there gives you a similar chance to a Hail Mary. Maybe he can make something happen. You know, get inside the five, push forward. Who knows? Not the decision that I wanted, but, you know, you still got life.
Yeah,
then,
I mean,
then he starts running towards the sidelines, and you're like, okay, Joe, yeah, go ahead and just limit yourself to the direction that you can move because you don't want to step out of bounds. And then he does the unthinkable, scrambles out of bounds.
Viva Alvin Kamara. Vanderbilt 2016.
I mean, worse than that. Far worse than that. And furthermore, you are the quarterback. You are held to a higher expectation when it comes to your football IQ and your management, your in-game decision making.
Right there, you roll out to the left. Okay, nobody's open yet. You got to understand, there's only two people rushing. Nobody's open. Roll back out to your right. Wait for somebody to get open in the end zone. Give yourself a shot. You got the arm. If somebody gets a split second of separation, you can throw it 100 miles an hour, hit him in the chest. But when doing what he did just gave us no shot at all. And I've said this ever since Saturday night. I would have been perfectly fine if we take a shot at the end zone and it gets batted down, intercepted. So be it. We tried. We gave our best. We gave our all. We just came up short. What transpired at the end of the game, stepping out of bounds, that's tough to swallow because you didn't even give yourself a shot. You essentially kneeled the ball down on the 20-yard line with, 8 seconds left on the clock, whatever it was, 5 seconds left. It didn't even try. And that's the way it comes off when you do what he did.
Yeah, and then one thing also, you were highly touted as this not only a good runner, but a very big-bodied runner, you know, all these Cam Newton comparisons. Why don't you just try to take a hit?
My thing
is, you know what I mean? Like, actually put your nose and actually try to win the game.
He had to have thought there was more time on the clock
something. Right?
I don't think he would thought at all.
You got to lateral it.
That's your problem right now. That's your problem right now. Both of you were trying to figure out what was Joe Milton thinking.
I'm trying to give him the benefit of the doubt.
He doesn't think. I don't know why. I know why. I know why we brought him in. I know why we got excited about him, because you look at a man the size of Cam Newton that throws a football 80 yards and you salivate. But I just knew it. I knew the whole offseason. Look at him at Michigan. He was terrible.
Yeah.
And I even tried to sugarcoat it a little bit this offseason. Well, you know, he had accuracy issues and, you know, he did. No, he was terrible. He was terrible at Michigan. And if you are terrible with as much raw talent as you possess, then I mean, you must really just not understand the game of football the way you need to. And then, you know, I was willing to give him a chance again as the starter at the start of the season. You know, I said, look, plain and simple, Milton worries me. I don't believe in him, but I will give him a chance because I trust our coaching staff. And over and over, he exhibited the inability to understand the offense, to make the correct throws, to have the right pocket, you know, awareness, presence, to navigate the pocket, I mean, to read the defense. Every mental aspect of the game, he failed. He has failed. And then you get the final play of the game and you run out of bounds? At this point, if I'm Josh Heupel, if I'm this coaching staff, there is not a chance in the world that Joe Milton ever takes another snap as a Tennessee Volunteer. And I don't care. I mean, if Hendon Hooker is hurt, if he is not able to go, it will not be Joe Milton for me. It would be Harrison Bailey. If Harrison Bailey gets hurt too, it would not be Joe Milton for me. It would be a walk-on. That is how I feel about Joe Milton. I think he is too dumb to ever take another snap at the Power 5 level of football. Inexcusable mistake, one that I will not forgive. Now, if he goes and beats Alabama Saturday, I'll forgive him. But I will not forgive him.
Yeah, if Hooker's hurt, I think even if he's just not 110%, 100% ready to go, if he's less than 90%, you're not playing him against Alabama. So, yeah, I think you're going to get Milton this weekend. I don't know.
That'll be the first question I pose to you. If Hendon Hooker can go, but he's not healthy, you say hold him out?
Hold him out. Give him an extra week because you got to beat Kentucky. You got a bye week before Kentucky. Don't take the chance on him going out there and getting crushed against Alabama.
Do you agree, Ryan?
Yeah, I do, because Hooker is so important. And then this Alabama game clearly is kind of a wash. It's going to be a losing battle, and we need our captain.
Look, man, I want to beat Alabama as bad as the next guy.
Yeah, I mean, you guys know me. You guys know what my answer is going to be to this question. I can't help myself.
Yeah.
I can't help myself. I'm going to be selfish here. If Hooker can go, even if he's not 100%, I want him to go. If he's cleared by the medical staff and he feels comfortable playing football on Saturday, I want him to be playing football on Saturday. You got the bye week anyway to rest. Let's play him. You know, let's win a football game.
I don't know. I was posed this question. I think you were out that day, but it was when we were playing Florida, and that was when Coop got hurt. And we knew he wasn't 100% going into the game. Chance asked me, he was like, do you hold him out against Florida, give him an extra week to rest since most people considered Florida
and
a wash?
You said no.
I said no.
I said no as well.
I said no, you don't hold him out because you come to Tennessee to play against teams like Alabama, Florida, Georgia. You come here for these games. You don't sit out because you're afraid of them. Anything like that. Cooper came here to play against these teams, and he did. This is different, though, to me. This is your quarterback. This is your captain. If he is not 100%, I don't think you play him against Alabama.
That's fair. That's fair, and it's probably even – it's more logical. It's probably the right answer, but I still want to see
him play. Kentucky is a very winnable game. We're going to have another chance at beating a ranked opponent. But Hooker's got to be healthy for it. If Hooker's not ready to go, I don't think you beat Kentucky.
If Hendon and Hooker can't go the rest of this season, how much does that change the outlook?
I still think we go 6-6. We're going to beat the cupcake we got left, and we're going to beat Vanderbilt.
No, we're going to beat the cupcake we got left and also beat South Alabama.
Yeah, there. Which, speaking of that, South Carolina almost lost to Vanderbilt.
Yeah, that was another a one point
to,
game.
Another thing to get. Zeb Nolan, our boy, saved the day.
Hey. We're still going to win six games, which I think at the beginning of the season, most people would have been content with. I'm not going to say happy, but they would have been content with it. A lot of people were projecting us to go 4-8, 5-7. So 6-6 after this season might seem a little disappointing after the way we started, but if Hooker's out for the rest of the year, I think you got to be okay with that.
Well, coming into Saturday, too, Tennessee has – or well, coming into the previous Saturday, the Ole Miss game, from the Ole Miss game on, Tennessee had the number one strength of schedule remaining in the country, of your remaining schedule.
13-ranked Ole Miss. Now you got number three-ranked Alabama. You got what's going to be you right, still have 15 number, Kentucky.
You have number one Georgia.
Number one
still.
Georgia. Yeah, I mean, it's tough. And then you get your two cupcakes at the end.
You know, I agree that either way, you're more likely to go 6-6 than anything else with Hooker or without him. But I the one thing I think Hendon Hooker gives you a chance to pull off an upset, and I'm not sure if anyone else does.
I agree with that.
Very true.
I think with Hendon Hooker, you beat Kentucky.
I do, too.
I do as well.
And without him, I'm just not sure. I still think you can. I don't respect this Kentucky team as much as maybe I should or as much as others do. But that's besides the point. We have plenty of time to talk about that elsewhere. When we get back, though, on the other side, winners and losers from Tennessee, Ole Miss, and much more. Because, hey, we still got Monday Night Football tonight, too. We got my Tennessee Titans, our Tennessee Titans, and a huge game. A huge game. You don't want to miss it. Stick with us right here on the Blitz. Winners and losers. That's what we're about to get into here as we continue our Ole Miss and Tennessee talk. Before we do that, though, quick question for all of you guys, continuing where what we were just talking about with the quarterback situation. If Hendon Hooker can't go, A, who do you think the quarterback will be? And B, who do you want the quarterback to be? GP3.
Joe Milton will be the starter. If Hooker can't go, not a doubt in my mind. Who would I rather have? Probably Bailey.
Yeah. Interesting. I'm the exact same mentality over here. I trust Harrison Bailey more than I trust Joe Milton. That's what it comes down
to. I don't even know if I trust Bailey more, but Bailey hasn't made the mistake that Milton did. From what we've seen of Bailey, he has not looked good.
Neither has Joe.
Joe's looked better. He's just not as football smart.
I don't know if I agree. I don't know if Joe's looked better. I think Harrison.
He's had more opportunity.
I think Harrison. Yeah, he's played more. We've seen more of him, and he does have more raw talent. But I think that Harrison Bailey maybe has even looked better just by not looking bad. Or comparatively,
great way to put that.
Comparatively,
right,
I mean, just by a matter of not playing, and Joe Milton playing and being awful.
I know this. Harrison Bailey would have thrown it on that last play of the game.
Yes.
Yeah.
Whether it was incomplete, caught, whatever, he would have given the team a chance.
Yeah, it's because he has football IQ. Even if he's not the best at delivering it at times, he still knows the situation.
Granted, his football IQ is not...
It's not the best
not
either.
Not great either.
Yeah.
But it's a step up because at least he has thoughts. I'm not sure if Joe Milton has thoughts.
I don't want to rag on a college kid too bad, but that was inexcusable.
Yeah, you're right. Sorry, Joe.
Winners and losers.
Winners and losers. I think there's enough for two each, or we want one each?
Let's start with one each, and we'll see how it goes.
All right. Sounds good. I'll start us off this time. I'm going to take both of your winners, probably. I'm going to pick as my first winner none other than Jabari Small.
Yep, just took it.
He was a guy that had somewhat been forgotten about, I guess. I mean, he'd gotten hurt. He had been a little bit banged up. And you know, obviously his role coming into the season, he was expected to be 1A, 1B with Tyon Evans. Well, then Tyon Evans, we all know how good he's been this season and how much, you know, he's really solidified himself as that RB1.
If Tyon Evans plays Saturday, do you think it's a different outcome?
No.
Fair.
But we all know, I mean, we all know about Tyon Evans and what he's done, and people kind of forgot about Jabari Small. He'd been hurt, obviously. And then you'd have guys like Lyneth Whitehead, even Michael Pierce step in and play and do a pretty good job, too. And I think people had forgotten about Jabari Small, but he reminded everyone that, you know, hey, he's still here, too. 21 carries on Saturday for 92 yards and a touchdown, 4.4 yards a carry. All of those good numbers, especially, you know, some of those plays were blown up from the get-go, too. I mean, some of them he didn't really stand a chance. I thought he really did a nice job, you know, not just running the ball, but then just being out there. And in other things besides running the ball. In all elements of the game, he impressed me. And I thought he was tough. I thought he was fiery. And he did a really nice job filling that void that was Tyon Evans being gone. And, you know, I don't think the game changes all that much if Tyon Evans is healthy. You know, it's different. But Jabari Small did a good enough job limiting that difference. Yeah. GP3, winner.
My first winner, Tim Banks, defensive coordinator. I don't want it to be understated how great the defense played on Saturday. And, you know, it's easy to overlook it just because of the final score. You look at the scoreboard, see that 31 points were scored. The defense played out of their minds, man. And what Tim Banks has been able to do with such a thin group deserves all the credit in the world. Jeremy Banks had 15 tackles, one sack, two tackles for loss. Aaron Beasley also showed out the linebacker position. And we're thin. We're thin on defense, and we're still holding the nation's most prolific offense. Yeah, they might have had 500 yards, but you stopped them when it mattered. You gave your offense a chance. And for that, I got Tim Banks being the number one winner.
Yeah, I kind of want to dive in a little bit more on Jeremy Banks right here. Like, you were just touching on him. He was
Tim Banks.
No, I'm talking about Jeremy Banks. Well, no,
Banks, okay, I was just making sure that we were on the same page that he was talking about. Okay.
Well, I mentioned Jeremy Banks, too. I mentioned both linebackers.
Yeah, he dropped a couple names in there, but I'm going to dive a little bit deeper right here. Jeremy Banks, you talked about the 15 tackles. He was everywhere. He had 9 of those solo, like 2 tackles for loss, including a sack, and this is clearly an offensive line that has been pretty good at protecting their quarterback, letting him be able to get the most of his opportunities with Matt Corral. And Jeremy Banks, clearly, he had to fill this void that was supposed to be Juwan Mitchell. Juwan Mitchell was supposed to be like this linebacker, defensive captain, and Jeremy Banks has gotten better and better almost every single week this season. You can tell he's getting more comfortable in the defensive scheme that he's being put in, and he is delivering. And I think he was one of the big reasons why we were actually able to limit them. Don't get me wrong, there were a couple situations where the linebackers let Matt Corral get a couple more yards than he needed to, but you can't blame that all on them.
Banks brothers, baby. The thing with Jeremy Banks and with those linebackers is with Matt Corral running the way he did, it's tough to necessarily declare them a winner.
Well,
to me,
I'm not saying
at the same
that,
time.
I'm not calling the linebackers winners. I'm just saying they defense
I mean, but
as a
they
whole.
Did, yeah, the
call
defense
Jeremy
as a
Banks
whole.
A winner.
The one thing, it was such a tough situation to be in Saturday with Matt Corral scrambling. Because you did spy. You spied a decent amount, but Ole Miss made it schematically a point to render that spy ineffective, or, I mean, to put you in a situation where you couldn't really spy. And I think in the second half, we almost got a little bit better when we quit spying as much, it felt like, and we just started blitzing more. But there were a lot of situations where, you know, maybe Ole Miss would go empty, or maybe, you know, they'd have that running back start in the backfield and occupy the flat, and then, you know, with the amount of receivers they already have in routes, you'd have to go take that flat away too. But it was tough. You know, a lot of times too, we were blitzing 3, dropping 8, and then even that's there's an extra lineman to block the spy as well. Loser real quick. We'll go ahead and hit it here just real quick. Your loser from this game, This time, Ryan, you can go first.
Can't say Joe Milton.
I'm not going to say Joe Milton. I was thinking about it, though, but my loser is Jalen Hyatt. Jalen Hyatt was one of the guys who's like, he's the one, like, we all agree right here, he was supposed to be one of the guys that was able to actually, like, get through this defense right here, except he only ended up with one reception for 18 yards. Clearly, it was the Velus Jones and Cedric Tillman show, but Jalen Hyatt's this kid we thought last week was going to start something with that touchdown reception, but right here, whew. I swear he wasn't even getting the real looks, and when he was, he wasn't helping out his team.
GB3?
Dondi Plowman.
Oh. Yeah!
Oh, that's a
good
one.
Get some, Dondi.
No explanation necessary.
Mic drop.
Yes. Yes. Amen. Amen on that one. Dondi Plowman. Ugh, gross. My losers in general are just Tennessee pass catchers. It was a group that before the season, it was one that we talked about was a strength. Like, oh, yeah, these receivers look really solid. We're excited about what they can do. And now I feel like it's clear that Velus Jones Jr. is really the only starting quality receiver that we have.
Cedric Tillman's good. Cedric Tillman
is good, but not good enough for the role that he's in, I feel like. Like, he is a solid complementary piece or a solid wide receiver three.
Javonte Payton's good, too.
Yeah. But in general,
Payton,
I mean,
Payton was a little –
those pass catchers, Javonte Payton didn't even have a reception.
Yeah, I was going to say, he was non-existent.
And nobody besides Velus Jones Jr. or Cedric Tillman had more than one. I mean, your tight ends.
Javonte Payton had one catch.
Oh, wait, yeah, I see that now. Javonte Payton did have one, my bad. But, yeah. Velus had six, Tillman had seven, but Warren won, Hyatt won, Merrill won, Payton won, Small won. You don't even see Princeton fans on there.
Yeah, exactly.
And we desperately needed a third option.
You need somebody you could put in the slot and rely on.
And instead, we never had that come to fruition on Saturday. We did not. Furthermore, I mean, you had holding penalties from this group, from your tight ends. Just not a good showing for them.
Backbreakers, man. Those
and
penalties.
Back-breaking penalties. It was bad. Honorable mention, first quarter play calling. As much as we like Heupel, I didn't like our play calling in the first quarter, really even in the first half. Especially Ole Miss has proved this season to be very vulnerable to the design quarterback run. KJ Jefferson ate him up with it a week ago, and we didn't really – we had maybe one designed quarterback run in the first half. We did it more in the second half. It worked really well, and it led to a lot of success with our offense. But wish we would have done more of that in the second half. But, hey, we still got a lot more of this game to get into. We'll save some of it for tomorrow with Chance when he'll be back. Chance also drawing a punishment tomorrow.
Ooh.
Yeah, I don't think we forgot about that. But on the other side, let's talk a little Monday Night Football. We're pretty close to Blitzoween.
I'm not even really entirely sure what Blitzoween is, but I'm excited.
Halloween, bye week, they match up together. We do Blitzoween.
So what is Blitzoween? What do we do?
You know, you just spooky Halloween stuff.
You just do Blitzoween.
Blitzoween.
That's all it is.
Last year we did a scary movie bracket, but Rick Butler and Brandon Orick did a terrible job of selecting the movies. So maybe we'll do that again, but
with better movies.
Better movies.
We can do that. Well, with it being a bye week, maybe we can do movies. Yeah. We can do Halloween candy.
It was our bye week last year, too.
Costumes.
Weirdly enough. Right after the
everything
Saturday
got
in October.
Messed up last year because of schedule. Because we were supposed to play Kentucky on Halloween last year. And they were going to wear the black jerseys and everything.
Yeah.
And then the schedules got changed.
We got a Monday Night Football game tonight.
We do.
I'm very excited. Very, very, very excited. Got my Julio jersey on now.
Nice. And he's playing, right? Everybody's on deck?
Everybody's playing tonight.
Well,
Julio's playing.
A.J. Brown got added to the injury report yesterday after he'd finally been taken off.
Man, I swear he lives on there.
For an illness.
Oh.
So he's questionable. I think he plays. I hope he plays. And it was kind of interesting, too. The way that A.J. Brown and Julio Jones both answered questions about their injuries when they spoke to the media this last week, A.J. Brown mentioned something about a snap count. And Julio Jones, when they asked him about the hamstring, goes, "Hamstring? What you mean?" Like he didn't even know that his hamstring was hurt. I think Mike Vrabel tried to outsmart himself and limit them and rest them a little bit, do some load management in two games that you think you can win with the Jags and Jets, and it backfired on him and cost him a loss.
Man, that's really interesting.
I was saying that after the Jets game. Man, it looks like they probably were a little sore tender.
Yeah, but I think they could have played.
If they were playing the Bills week three, they'd have played.
Right.
Yeah.
But I think tonight is a great opportunity for the Tennessee Titans. I think it is. Yeah, you're getting everyone back healthy. You're getting the national audience. It's Monday Night Football with a team that you're very familiar with.
It's a chance to make a statement.
And you get a chance to just kind of say, okay, here we are at 3-2, reset. Let's just reset. You know, we've had a very weird 5 weeks. Very, very weird. But right now, you know, this is where our season starts again. We have Bills, Chiefs, Colts, Rams, bang, 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 bang. Let's start playing like the team we need to be, like we can be, like we should be. Right now, the Bills are 6-point favorites. They have the MVP favorite in Josh Allen. Well, maybe not after Kyler yesterday. I think Kyler technically took the lead again. But he was your MVP favorite just a week ago. ESPN, FPI, 71% chance to win for the Bills. 28% for the Titans. Tie, 0.2%. That's what we're going to get, probably. The 0.2%. But
I'd be fine with the tie.
Would you?
No. I hate ties.
I'd jump off the stadium with
a tie. I would have taken a tie against the Jets after everything that happened in that game, but
I hate ties. I mean,
I hate ties too, but in the standings, a tie does you better than a loss.
Yeah. I don't like having to do the extra math that comes with a tie.
Not a math guy.
Not a math guy.
Hey, if you get a tie, you'll have like a regular looking 16 schedule. I mean, 16 record right there. You could be like
8-1. A la Jeff Fisher.
Yeah.
So, no Christian Fulton tonight.
He's out again? Or, no, he's just out.
Right.
Caleb Farley's in.
Caleb Farley is in.
Why is Christian Fulton out? What happened with him?
He got hurt last week.
Oh.
But other than that, it's close to being really the healthiest you've been all year. Can Tennessee slow down the Bills tonight, do you think?
It's going to be hard. Our defense isn't good. They're not even average. They're just not good. But we got Avery Williamson.
I disagree. I think that they are at least average.
There's really good pieces, but the collective whole is still more to be desired.
You know, Kevin Byard's regressed every year since he signed his extension. Janoris Jenkins is awful. Jackrabbit Jenkins, excuse me. Caleb Farley shows some lines or signs of life. I think he's serviceable. Not having Christian Fulton's going to hurt. Linebacker, Rashawn Evans, we all know how bad he's been. I think our defensive front's good. I think that's probably the best unit on the defense, which is kind of shocking to say, considering how bad they've been in the past. But if you can't get pressure on Josh Allen, he's going to sling it on us, throw for 400 yards.
Well, the Bills are pretty healthy. The Titans just missing Monty Rice and Christian Fulton tonight. A couple guys questionable as well, but
you got to have the offense step up in a big way.
I think this is tonight is where that offense will step up. They had success against the Bills a year ago. Granted, the Bills have improved on defense, but Julio Jones and A.J. Brown being back can't be understated, especially this offense has grown tougher learning to try to win without them. You know, now that they've gotten tougher that way and figured out other ways to get done, you add those two pieces back, I think it only makes you better as an offense. And
well, thing too, the Bills are one of the only teams that Derrick Henry hasn't rushed for 100 yards against. Three games against them, he's never gone over 100 yards.
Yeah, and then with this Bills defense right here, they're only giving up 12.8 opponent points per game. But if you look at the teams that they've played, you guys, the Titans, are clearly one of the top offenses they've played with the Chiefs right here. So, I mean, you definitely can get going right here.
Something's not right with the Chiefs. Like, yeah. Something's obviously wrong with them.
And then other than that, I mean, they played the Steelers, the Dolphins without Tua.
Exactly.
And the football team. And the football team still scored 21 on them. But I do think we're going to be successful offensively tonight.
So as well.
And I think Derrick Henry is going to have a big night.
He's going to get that 100 yards.
Yeah, I think he'll break that barrier tonight too.
It is going to be – there are going to be a lot of Bills fans there. I already have my buddies in Nashville texting me, oh, my gosh, look at the Gulch, look at 12 South, Broadway. There's Bills fans out there drinking already.
It's going to be 10:40
in the morning. But I think it's going to be a really good atmosphere. I'm very, very, very excited. And, you know, ultimately it does come down to your defense. Will you be able to get a pass rush on Josh Allen? And can you cover long enough for those two units to work together? Bud Dupree's back tonight. Harold Landry's having the best season of his career.
That's true. Danico Autry's been fine. Jeffrey Simmons is cementing himself as one of the best interior defensive linemen in the league.
The addition of Avril Williamson to me is bigger than I think people realize.
I agree.
It's not like he's, you know, a world beater. That's why he's available to add to your team at this point in the season. But
there's still a reason we went and signed him.
He's serviceable, and you do have a need. I mean, Rashawn Evans was playing some of the worst football I've seen from a linebacker that was drafted that high and has started as long as Rashawn Evans.
I miss Keith Bullock.
I think Rashawn Evans needs to be an outside linebacker. I think that he could be good or at least decent at that. I would try him there. I think he could be, you know, a come off like, don't put him in coverage, obviously, but very much. You could use him in certain situationally as an outside linebacker, and I think it could be well. But whatever Avery Williamson gives you tonight, it is virtually impossible for it to be worse than what Rashawn Evans is giving you this year. Avery Williamson could just throw his body at the offensive line and just start a pile, and it would be 10 times more productive than anything Rashawn Evans has done this season.
Yeah, Rashawn Evans, for those who don't follow the Titans, abysmal. Like,
just disappointing. Very disappointing.
I think what Pro Football Focus has him rated as the second worst linebacker in all of the NFL.
He's been our lowest graded player several times this year, and he's gotten worse on a weekly basis because teams are kind of figuring out to attack him a little bit. So, you know, I think that'll be nice too. If you can get better play out of Avery Williamson, you can stop the run a little bit better, which is something you've traditionally done well. You know, I think that defense can have a good game tonight. Obviously, there's only so much you can do to limit Josh Allen, but I like the Titans to win. I do. I think the Titans win this football game tonight.
I would not be surprised if the Titans win because they always play up to their competition, they play down to their competition, and they show up on the biggest stage. They just do. But that being said, I'm not picking them to win. I just can't. After seeing the way they played to start the season, I can't. I'm not going to be surprised if they win. I'm a root for them, but I'm picking the Bills.
Just me on the Titans tonight?
Yep.
Yeah, I'm definitely more on the Bills this side, but I do see – I just want to get in this one right here before we jump to the break right here. Josh Allen, literally force him to get into those situations where he tries to do too much, because that's the only time that they've lost this year was a good defense that made him try to do too much. And I think you guys have the right playmakers to be able to put him in situations he feels too confident in.
Well, I'm the only one on the Titans tonight. Shocker. I'm sure everyone out there, you're surprised that I think the Titans are going to win. But – Man, I'm ready. I'm ready. Let's get this done. Tighten up, baby. Tighten up. Let's get it done tonight. Wrapping up the Blitz with a little If You Haven't Heard on the other side. My door and the whole world turns blue. Final segment of the Blitz happening now. A little If You Haven't Heard, but first, I'd like to remind you that our friends over at FanDuel Sportsbook, they got you covered for tonight's game. The final game of Week 6 is going down in Nashville, and FanDuel Sportsbook wants you to get the most out of every play. That's why they're giving everyone a $10 risk-free bet every week. All you have to do is bet a same-game parlay with three legs or more, and if your bet doesn't win, FanDuel will pay you back up to $10. Tonight, the Bills, the Titans, Nashville, Nissan Stadium. I'll be betting from it from inside the stadium. for all I know.
I haven't used my risk-free one this week, and I've been waiting for tonight.
I haven't either.
I'm thinking of...
I feel like I know my team pretty well. I want the Derrick Henry over on rushing yards. I know that he hasn't rushed for 100 yards against the Bills. I don't care. He's on fire. Give me his over.
I'm taking Derrick Henry 2 touchdowns tonight.
Yes.
Maybe combine that with a Stephon Diggs touchdown over on Josh Allen passing yards.
No. Not touching anything Bills related. Give me Titans only, baby.
Give me a
Titans
only rushing touchdown.
Yes, give me a throw it in there. Tannehill rushing touchdown. I like to. Julio's, I actually do.
Julio's going to get his first reception or receiving touchdown this season.
I do like if I'm putting something together though. I go anytime touchdown scored, Derrick Henry, the Ryan Tannehill over on passing yards, over on passing attempts, and.
What about over on rushing
yards? The Derrick Henry over on rushing yards. That's what I'm going with.
What is Tannehill's line usually for rushing yards per game? It's got to be kind of up
usually
there for
around
quarterback,
like,
right?
I think 15
it's around
to like 20.
15 to 20. I like the over. Yeah, I mean, the Bills are without Milano still. That's one less linebacker.
Tannehill's not afraid to run it either, and he's not the quarterback that's just going to slide too.
No, like, he's too much, he's still too much of a wide receiver, but lots going on tonight. Lots to love when you're making those bets over on FanDuel. And there's no better place than FanDuel to go place these bets. I mean, they have fast payouts. They're very easy to use. They're safe. They're secure. It's all these reasons and more why they're America's number one sportsbook. There's no feeling in the world like nailing a same-game parlay bet. So lock in your bet today on FanDuel Sportsbook and get up to $10 back if your bet doesn't win. New to FanDuel Sportsbook, sign up today with promo code BLITZ to also receive a risk-free bet up to $1,000. That's promo code BLITZ, so they know that I sent you. Must be 21 or older and present in the state of Tennessee. Refund issued is a non-withdrawable site. Credit expires in 7 days. Max refund, $10. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Same game parlay available for multiple sports in all states on mobile and web. Gambling problem, call TN Redline 1-800-889-9789. All right, 1 minute left. I'll go ahead and give you guys, and if you haven't heard, it's almost basketball season. And if you haven't heard, the AP poll, the very first one of the season, drops at noon Eastern, just in time for us to not be able to see it and react to it. But
what time?
Noon.
Noon.
Five minutes.
Yeah, in 5 minutes. But
11.
What we did get KenPom's ratings yesterday, the initial KenPom ratings. Tennessee, number 13, the highest rated SEC team and the projected SEC winner. We also got the Bart Torvik numbers. Tennessee is the number one team in the SEC there and projected to win the SEC. So some good stuff there.
Quick one that I got for you. If you haven't heard, Patrick Mahomes' brother, Jackson Mahomes, has issued an apology after filming a TikTok dancing on retired Washington football team legend Sean Taylor's retired number on the sideline. So he got a lot of heat for that, filming
brother.
A TikTok on the
what
retired
a dweeb.
Number. So he's issued an apology.
What a dweeb. Anyway, time for your days of the day. This is a weird one. We got National Clean Your Virtual Desktop Day. If it's a virtual desktop, is it still real? And then can you clean it? Or I guess, does it mean clean out? I don't know. Anyway, what? National Exascale Day, National No Beard Day, National Chocolate Cupcake Day. Oh, a little milk chocolate cupcake. Turn me up.
I don't like chocolate.
And International Legging Day. Oh, really? Turn me up, baby. Let's go.
Hey.
Good show today. Chance will be back with us tomorrow. He'll be drawing a punishment.
TikToker.
I more than likely will not be here tomorrow after the Titans game tonight. We'll see. It's up in the air still. But tighten up tonight. For Charlie, for GP3, for intern Ryan, thanks for listening to The Blitz. More programming coming up next.